is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great to be with you again. We're going to continue our series, Mystery of the Seed. I want to thank you for your love gifts to this ministry that allow us to keep this radio program going around the world. And I'd like to read to you a letter that I got. I'm not even going to tell you this person's name is William, and he wrote to us recently. But this is symbolic of so many letters we get, and I read each and every one. But I wanted to read it because, you know, so many people are being blessed through Bible Home Church, and that's because of you. We're able to keep this program on the air. He writes, Dear Tex, just wanted to thank you for your faithful work. I have enjoyed your weekly program for several years now. William goes on to say, I do think we must work while it is day. I soon see darkness approaching when no man can work. I thank Wanda and all your fellow workers and pray God will sustain and protect you. William goes on to write, There is little truth around anymore. This week a friend, 70 years old, in ministry for the Mennonite Church, visited me. William writes, I had not seen my friend in 30 years. What I found was very disappointing. My friend said that his church was soon to vote on whether to allow homosexuals into the Mennonite Church. He favored it. He also said he had many spirit-filled Catholics for friends. Also, he said that there were errors in the King James Bible. Brother Tex, writes William, I could not hardly restrain myself. I have sent him some material and your tape on Catholics and evangelicals. I pray God will show him this deception and plant his feet on the solid rock. Love in Christ. Your brother, William. My friends, this is why we're here at Bible Home Church. Here was a man who was 70 years old now. He's been in ministry for 30 years. And yet, he favors homosexuals as pastors in the Mennonite Church. He says there's nothing wrong with the Catholic churches, the Catholic teachings. And then he goes on to say there are errors in the Bible. This man continues, I'm sure, to be in good standing in his full-time ministry in this Mennonite church. You know, this is going on across America. I believe, my friends, and I am convinced, I've seen it over and over again, when there's darkness in a man's life, there will be darkness in his pulpit. And I believe if you knew this man, I'm not about to investigate. I don't have time. There's so many thousands just like him. But I can tell you this much. There is no doubt that there is great and grievous sin in this person's life. Just recently, some friends told me they had a pastor of their church and he kept bringing in false teaching after false teaching. And he began to say the King James has all kind of errors. Yes, it's riddled with errors, he said. And then one day, he came before the church and broke down and said, I have to leave. I've been having an affair with three women, members of this church, all married women. And now their husbands have come to me and have the evidence. And they have told me that I must resign. This is my last Sunday. You see, my friends, if you have horrible sin in your life, a stain and a corruption, you cannot teach the Bible. You cannot teach the Word. And I think there's great horrors going on within the Christian church. I believe that homosexuality, for one thing, is rampant among pastors, among ministers of music. I can prove that. I have much documentation of that. Now, it should not surprise us that Satan makes the most headway within the church, the establishment. Why would he not attack the church? Where could Satan profit more than by attacking the church itself? If Satan can grasp a hold of the heart and soul of a pastor, how many others will follow? And this is the attack to corrupt and pervert our pastors. Many of them began in the first place. I was recently reading something that set me back on my heels. A man calculated in this article I read that during the days of the Vietnam War, there were at least 4.5 million Americans who were draft dodgers and who sought to escape the Vietnam War by going to divinity school or claiming to be a minister, called to the ministry. Draft dodgers, but they became ministers. And you know, I began to look at the ages and I thought, you know, a man today who's, let's say, 50 or 55 years of age as a pastor would have been possibly one of those draft dodgers. You know, this sounds like a terrible thing for me to say, but I shouldn't say it perhaps, but I trust a man more who's a pastor who was in military service, because I know so many fakes that simply didn't want to go get shot at in Vietnam. And they said the way to do that is to get a ministerial exemption. You see, the government said, even if you're a college graduate, we're going to draft you into the military. You're going to have to go into the military draft. But if you could say, I'm licensed to preach, or if you could say, well, I'm going to go to divinity or theological school, they gave you an exemption. Other people went and many lost their lives in Vietnam, but those who claimed ministerial exemption got to stay home and be comfortable. And millions of filthy, no good hippie draft dodgers became ministers. And after they finished their theological school and they took churches, sometimes small churches at first, but still they were able to avoid going to war. They became the anti-war protester ministers, and now some of them have huge pastorates, huge churches. Now, don't get me wrong, there are many who did not serve in the military who are good pastors today, who were truly called. But I think there are 10 times as many who were simply dishonest draft dodgers. Maybe you should ask questions if you're going to a local church about your pastor. Again, I don't want to cast aspersions on all, but certainly some. I'd love to hear from you if you'd like to write to me. Maybe you don't agree with me, but it's fine. I'd like to hear from you anyway. And if you think I'm wrong, we'll pray that God will make my mind right. I think God is able to do it, don't you? But I do think I'm right, and I've done a lot of research in this area. Like to hear from you anyway. You know, I love to just get encouraging letters too, not just people that criticize me. I get a few of those, but most of the letters we get are very encouraging, very wonderful letters, inspiring, and I appreciate your writing. A lot of people write to me and say, Tex, thanks for standing up for the truth. Can you imagine? Do you really think they're going to invite me to big ministerial groups when I preach this way? I don't think, you know, the Interfaith Association of Austin, Texas is going to have me. I was invited to the Southern Baptist Pastors Association to speak. That's all of the Southern Baptist pastors in Central Texas, and I went there. They got so mad at me during my talk. One of them stood up and started screaming at me. And then others jumped up and started screaming at me. And the guy who had invited me, the pastor, he jumped up himself, and he was so frightened he didn't know what to say. He said, well, maybe you better leave, Mr. Morris, because these people are angry at you. All these pastors are angry at what you're preaching to them. I said, well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I've got the pulpit, and I've got about 2 more minutes to preach. If you want to leave, you can leave, but I'm going to continue my sermon. And I finished my sermon there. And they just sat in their chairs and glowered at me, most of them. And let me tell you something, friends. The amazing thing was that afterwards, I stood outside to shake their hands as they left. All, yes, even the pastors that had hollered and screamed at me and demanded that I quit talking. They walked right by me and brushed past me. But there were four pastors who stood over and got together over there in the corner. I didn't know what they were plotting against me. I said, I don't know what those guys are going to do. They're not leaving. They're looking at me and they're talking about me. Well, I didn't think they were going to harm me, but I thought, boy, they're really going to come up. They're probably going to come up and one of them is just really going to blast me. I don't know. Maybe they're plotting what they're going to say to me. I looked over there and all the other pastors had left, dozens of pastors, and they all left the building, refused to even shake my hand. In a moment, I'll tell you why, what I talked about, why they were so mad at me, these Southern Baptists. By the way, they'd never invited me back again to speak to their group. But then these four came up. They waited till all the other pastors had left. And then they just quietly came up to me. One of them put his hand out and he said, Brother Mars, what you said here today was so important. It was so necessary. We all believe together that God sent you to speak to the Southern Baptist group of pastors today. We want to thank you for coming. And we want to ask you if you would please go with us. Do you have time right now, this afternoon, to go with us? We'd like to go with you somewhere where we can be in private and pray and talk with you about these things. We want to know more. And you know, we went off together and we did, and we sat, and we met for about 2.5 hours, me and these four pastors. We prayed and we talked about these things, and these men told me they had a hunger and a burning in their hearts for the truth. And they were so thrilled, and they want revival in their churches. One said to me, he said, Brother Mars, I want to tell you something. He says, you know the guy that first stood up and began to scream at you? I said, yes, I do. I remember him. He said, that man, for 3 years, his church, he's preached in his church. It's one of the biggest churches in Austin. It's on a major thoroughfare. He has not had one person converted and saved in his church in 3 years. And he's not had one baptism in his church in 3 solid years. He said, these people, these ministers are dead to the gospel. And they are rebels against God's word. Now that was an amazing revelation to me. And then I knew why God had sent me there in the first place. You say, well, Tex, you mean God sent you there to almost be spit upon, to be scorned, to be despised and hated? Yes, he did. God sent me there to preach. But there were four friends with four pastors in one area of Texas. What I couldn't do for God's word. So, you know, I didn't go away saying, oh, woe is me. I'm so hated, and all these Baptist pastors, they won't speak to me now. They'll never invite me back again. Oh, it's so horrible. I'm such a dreadful person. I went away thanking God for these four men that he had called into his ministry. And, you know, that's what I believe God sent me there for. He may also have sent me for those who turn away. Let me tell you what I did. They asked me to speak about the New Age movement. They wanted me to get up and talk about Shirley MacLaine and crystals and all of the pyramid powers. And I got up and I talked about those things for a few minutes. And then I switched. I switched them on them. Oh, man, I didn't mean to deceive them or fool them, but that's what God told me to do. I said, now, gentlemen, I've told you a little bit about the New Age movement, but there are also New Age doctrines. And they have invaded Southern Baptist churches today. And I'm going to give you examples of that. I'm going to expose New Age teachings in Southern Baptist churches today. And then I began to preach on that. And I named names, and I named churches. And they got so mad at me, they were furious. They began to stand up and scream and holler for me to sit down and shut up. And then I got to Billy Graham's name. And boy, they went wild there, because Billy Graham is, you know, he's really the Southern Baptist Pope. He's the Supreme Pontiff of the Southern Baptist Convention. Believe you me. They got furious. Now, I want you to understand, none, not one person, not one pastor said, Tex Mars, what you preach is not true. They never said, you're not accurate. They never said, you haven't proved your point. They never said, you don't have documentation. They knew what I said was true. They knew it was correct. They knew I was on target. They knew I had documentation. That's why they hated the message. They wanted to shut me up. They couldn't bear to hear the truth. They wanted to stay with Satan. And they couldn't bear to hear a godly message that said, these things are evil. You see, Ahab and Jezebel wanted to keep doing what they were doing. They didn't want to hear Elijah. Herod wanted to keep doing what he was doing. He didn't want to listen to John the Baptist. They wanted to destroy the messenger. But, oh, I love the buts. There were four who said, thank you for coming. God sent you to us today. These other pastors, they have dead churches. Well, you know, I was going to talk about the mystery of the seed today, but God sort of led me on a different passage. But I have a few more things to talk to you about. But first, don't we always have beautiful music here on Bible Home Church? We always do. Good friend of mine, actually, Walt Mills, and he sang an old favorite. I'm not even if you don't know the name to this, well, I'm gonna punish you. Oh, I'm a mean man. And if you don't know the name of this song, well, ask a friend. Here's Walt. I'm really not that mean, folks. But in any case, here is Walt Mills. You'll like this.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. to the old rugged cross. I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me safe to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling
Thank you, Brother Walt Mills. Invited you to write to me. I pray that you will. Hope you'll send us your love gifts if you can, if the Holy Ghost leads you to do that, so we can continue this work for the Lord. You know, we've just got a couple minutes left on this program today, and we're going to continue with Mystery of the Seed next week. But I wanted to mention something to you and make a comment on it and see if you'll agree with me on this. Recently in the newspapers were stories, and international outrage was expressed because the Taliban, that's the Islamic fundamentalists in Afghanistan, are blowing up two huge statues of Buddha. Now, these statues were built on public land in Afghanistan, yes, public lands, next to a roadside where travelers go by. Now, the Muslims, the Islamic fundamentalists, the Taliban, who now control the government of Afghanistan, said it would be idolatry to allow these two statues of Buddha to stay there. And so they brought in mines, you know, bombs, and blew them apart. And international outrage, especially by liberals, was expressed. These national treasures. But friends, in the United States today, and for the last 20 years, have they been not demanding that all vestiges of Christianity be removed from public squares, any statues, even the Ten Commandments in schools, crosses, manger scenes be removed and destroyed, taken away? We cannot have God in public life. Separation of church and state. Isn't it a little hypocritical to criticize the Muslims for blowing up statues of Buddha? Isn't it true that the ACLU and the ADL and all the others want any statues or any symbols of Christianity removed from public view? This is Tex Mars. I'd like to hear your comments. And Bible Home Church in Austin, Texas. Until next week, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.